amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, go ahead and look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 12. Luke in chapter 12, on Sunday evenings, we've been preaching and teaching on the teachings of Christ. The teachings of Christ. We've been doing this in chronological order, beginning when he was 12 years of age, the message that he preached to his earthly mom and dad. And we've been studying all the way through to now. We're coming to the somewhat the end of the second year of his public ministry, and there's been so much that he has taught, and what a blessing to be able to study the Bible in a way of just looking at the exact teachings of Christ and then making them applicable to our lives. Last week, he taught the parable of the rich fool, and the meaning from that is life is all about being rich toward God. That's what's most important. Ultimately, that's what's going to be most important after this life, is being rich toward God. He follows up now after that parable. The next thing that he will teach on is found here in Luke in chapter 12, verse 35 down to verse 48. Two different parables which are presenting the same truth that he wanted to get across. And so if you'll go ahead and stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. Luke chapter 12, verse 35, and we'll read down to verse 48. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to eat and drink and be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this evening, what a blessing it has been this morning and now tonight just to be in your presence and to be able to come to your church and to worship you and to be blessed and to be a blessing. Thank you for all that we've already received today. But now, Father, as we have opened up your word, we've read these two parables, the teachings that you presented. I pray that you'd open up our hearts and our minds to understanding these. And I pray that you would empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So we find here that being rich toward God is the last lesson that he would have presented to them through the parable of the rich fool. And then he addresses two more parables. And they are addressing his second coming. Now, again, the disciples, they had heard him teach and preach on that. They still did not fully understand it, but this would be recorded for them afterwards, as well as for all of us to look back on to see exactly what Jesus was presenting here concerning the second coming of the Lord. Verse 35 to verse 40, it's a parable of servants being ready for their Lord's return from a wedding. Okay, so it was an illustration of a parable of that their Lord being gone and at a wedding, and they were to be ready for his return. And verse 42 down to verse 48, it's a parable of a steward. And the parable of the steward being ready for his Lord to return to give an account of his stewardship. So give an account, first of all, of their service to God and being ready as a servant and making sure that they accomplish everything that they were supposed to accomplish while their Lord of the house was at a wedding. And then the second would be that of stewardship, being ready with making sure that you've done everything that God had for you to do and how you was a good steward of his belongings and his blessings. So as we looked at these two, the overall message. And Peter asked, and there in verse 41, it said, then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us? Is this something just for us or even to all? Well, it's been recorded for the New Testament church age now for some 2,000 years. And so the overall message, not only for Peter and the apostles, but also for everyone to learn is humanity needs to be prepared and be ready to face God. That's where we're failing today, possibly. Even Christians are failing today in being prepared, and not only prepared, but ready to face a Creator God. The book of Romans in chapter 14 and verse 11, it says this, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. It's been written down. It's been revealed by God, been preserved by God, written down, preserved, so that no one will have an excuse. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to God. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 40, he says the same thing here when he says, be ye, that's talking to anyone, everyone who's reading the scriptures. That's addressing anyone who believes and wants to understand more about God. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. I've said before, any preacher worth his salt for the last 2,000 years has belief that Jesus is going to return in their lifetime. The apostles thought that Jesus would return in their lifetime. First century church, second century church. Can I tell you, all the way up to this 21st century church, as a pastor, I believe he's coming in our life, my lifetime. Now, even so, come, Lord Jesus, my life is getting close to the end, amen? So in order for that to happen, it's going to have to be pretty soon. But the idea of it is that that's how God would have us to live our lives. That's why he has presented it the way it's been presented in the scriptures, is that you, as a born-again believer who do believe in God, realize that as a believer and as someone who knows that there is a God, I know that He's coming and we will give an account. Could be today. It will be one day. They were all wrong. I'm right. But they lived the same way that I would live. The same way that Jesus would have every body to live. Prepared and ready to face God. Are we prepared? Are we ready? He could come before this message is over. He could come before you have a chance to come to this altar. I don't know. I just know that He's coming. And all of the signs of His coming have already come to pass. Everything that was revealed that would happen, prophesied would take place before the coming has taken place. We're there. I don't know that we could have always said that going back to the first century church, but they didn't have the understanding that we have today and understanding all of the future prophecies. But all the future prophecies, the gospel has been preached around the world. And it is available to anyone and everyone around the world today through the technology that we have. That would not have been possible in the first century church. Every tongue shall confess to God. Can I tell you that we know that the rapture is going to take place, and that's the start of the second coming of Christ. He's not actually coming to the earth. It will begin with the rapture of the church. But can I tell you, physical death is the same as the rapture to the one who dies? Everyone that has died up to today has faced the very same things as they will face at the rapture. What do you mean by that, preacher? I mean they're facing the end of opportunities to be prepared. While we still have life to live, we can prepare to meet the Lord. While we still have life to live, we can be ready to meet the Lord. When I die, it's the same thing as when the rapture takes place. There is no more opportunities. And so in a way, all of those preachers in the past and all those believers in the past that believed that He was coming in their lifetime, they actually, He did for them. He did not literally come. There has not been the rapture of the church, and there has not been the tribulation period, and there has not been that millennial reign. No matter what some weirdos might want you to believe, none of that has taken place. But for those who have lived and died, it's the same thing. There's no more time for them to prepare. And then time flies by as 1,000 years being one day. It's only been 2 days since He left. And so all those that are dead, have spiritually, the Bible says, be absent from the body, is present with the Lord. They have gone on spiritually to be in the presence of God. I believe in that heavenly grandstand, cheering on the work of Christ on this earth. All of those that have died during that time are there doing that. But they cannot prepare any more than what they was prepared when they died. They can't be any more ready than what they were ready when they died. Wow. So Jesus wants to get this message. Humanity needs to be prepared and be ready to face God. Yeah. A person, no matter who they are, must believe that they will face God in order for them to be prepared to face God. Did you get a hold of that? Today, we have to believe that we will face God in order for us to be prepared. These parables, in verse 36, he says this, "And ye yourselves likened to men that wait for the Lord when he will return, when he cometh." When he will return, when he cometh, in verse 36, verse 37, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh." And then it says in verse 38, "And if he shall come," because he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them. So blessed are those servants because they believe that he would come. In verse 43, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." He believes that he is coming. And because he is coming, he was going to be doing what he needed to do to be prepared for his coming. In verse 46, we find the Lord of that servant will come. There should be no doubt in anyone's mind that God is God. There is a almighty creator God. There is a Savior who came to die for our sins. There is a Holy Spirit that dwells within us. That is the Trinity, that is the Godhead. And there is a day marked on the calendar of God the Father when he will rapture his church. I have to believe that I will face God to be prepared. It's an impossibility for a lost man to be prepared. If you died lost, you will be lost for an eternity. If you die lost, every soul that has died a physical death up to this point is being prepared to be cast into a lake of fire and brimstone at the great white throne judgment without any hope of ever escaping that. It's too late. It's too late. They were not prepared. An unbeliever lacks faith, and anyone who lacks faith to believe cannot be saved. The Bible says in Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 8, "For by grace, the grace of God, are you saved through faith." So outside of faith, it's an impossibility for anyone to be saved. And if you're not saved, you cannot be prepared or ready to face God. You're going to face him, but you will not be prepared to face him. You will not be ready to face him. It's too late. It's too late. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, verse 6, "It's possible, without faith, it's impossible to please God." So that means not only is it impossible for a lost man to be ready, it's impossible for a lost man to be discipled to please God. You've heard me say that before. I think in a lot of our churches today, we're trying to disciple lost people. And that's why they never want to walk and live the life pleasing to God, because they're in church for a number of different reasons. But they're not in church for the right reason. There is a God. There is a God. Yeah. A believer must keep in mind that he will face God in order to be ready to face God. Look back with me, Luke in chapter 12. An unbeliever cannot be prepared and will not be prepared. It's impossible A believer, if he's going to be prepared, praise the Lord for one thing, he will not, when he dies, he will not go to a devil's hell. He will not be in preparation to go to eternal Gehenna hell. But when he dies, if he's saved, the Spirit's going on to be with the Lord. And he will meet Jesus Christ, and he will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. And if you're not ready, even as a Christian, you're going to regret not being prepared and ready as a believer to face Jesus Christ. It's a fearful thing, the Bible says. We don't know exactly what that's going to be. We know that you're saved, but you don't have the works, and you're not going to receive the rewards, and you're not prepared if you're not ready to receive the rewards God has for us in heaven. By the skin of our teeth, is that how we really want to make it to heaven? A believer to be ready and prepared must be mindful of his soon coming. And look in chapter 12, verse 35. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. We are the light of the world. Jesus knew that we would be the light, the salt. And he said, I want you to let the light burn. I want you to be able to be the salt of the earth. I want you to be able to do what I've got you on earth to do. Be a witness. Amen. Live like Jesus. As we preached on this morning. Live like Jesus. That's what he's saying. We said, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, because you know you have such a short period of time to serve the Lord and accomplish things for God, because he is coming. He is coming. Then verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Watching. Must keep this in mind. I need to watch for it. And if I'm watching for it, then I know it's going to take place, and I need to be ready and prepared. It's when you lose sight of that is when you lose sight of being ready and prepared. We stop living like Jesus. Verse 39, and this know that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Might have done things different if we'd have been watching. For his soon return. So go back to our text in Luke in chapter 12. He wants them to be prepared and ready. Amen? Is everybody in agreement with me here? I mean, I think both these parables are pointing to that very same truth. Just plug in with me here tonight. We have to know, we have to be ready and prepared to face God. You have to know that we will face God. Have to be ready by watching. And if we are watching and we are ready, Jesus says, this is what you can look forward to. We can enjoy the benefits of his blessings. Because if you're watching and you're ready and prepared, Satan's not working in your heart and mind. He's not got strongholds in your life. He's not leading you and blinding you. No, you're very much aware of the battle. You're very much aware of spiritual warfare. And you're living the life that is pleasing to God. And as you're living the life that is pleasing to God, then you can be blessed. Look what he says. Verse 37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Underline that. Blessed. That could be you. That could be me. Whether I am going to die tonight, if I am prepared to meet the Lord, then I'm going to be blessed. You know my testimony. I was ready to go 2 years ago. I thought I was gone. I thought, I mean, I felt the more the peace of God than ever. I was ready. And Lord, I'm excited about eternity with God in heaven. It's real. I didn't see any bright light in it. No, I just sensed the peace of the presence of God. It was real. And it is real. And I'm blessed. If I die tonight, can I tell you I'm excited about looking forward to meeting my Lord because I know that I am blessed. Because I've been watching. I know it's coming. He goes on, verse 38. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch. The idea here is you're watching and find them. Blessed are those servants. He might not have come when you thought he was going to come. He might not come if you think he's going to come. If you set a date, he's not coming on that date. Amen. Mark it down. No man knows the hour. No man knows exactly when it's going to, but we can know that it's coming. We can be ready. Because the Bible says if you're ready, then you're blessed. You're blessed. Yeah. Verse 43. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Blessed. God's reward, God rewards faithfulness with blessings. And blessings are benefits that a lost man cannot receive. Sometimes if you're working a job, your employer wants you to work a little harder, and they will offer you benefits if you work a little harder, get a little more done. And you look at those and you determine whether or not it's worth the extra effort to get that perk. Sometimes they have a goal. If you meet this goal, you get a week-long vacation. Or you might get something else, get a promotion, whatever it might be. I mean, you're just, it's an incentive to do more. Jesus wanted to give an incentive to us. By doing this, you're blessed. And the blessings are benefits from God. Now, let me read to you a few verses here. Over in the book of Psalms in chapter 68, in Psalms chapter 68, he says this in verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. That means I can have benefits, loaded benefits from God on a daily basis. Being ready is a blessing because it'll give you more of a peace and a joy and a walk with God that you can't purchase. Yeah. The Bible says that in this very same light there in Psalms chapter 103, Psalms chapter 103 in verse 1 through 5, he says this, Blessed the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with the loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Benefits associated with being prepared and being ready to face God. I think one of the greatest ones is what Jesus presented over in the book of John in chapter 12 and verse 26. Write this down. In John chapter 12, verse 26, Jesus says, "If any man serve me, living a life, knowing that God is real, knowing that God has a purpose for our life, knowing that I want to be prepared for Christ's return, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Being honored by a creator God? I don't know it gets any better than that. Every now and then you'll accomplish something and they'll give you an honor, they'll acknowledge it and give you a pin or something like that, but to be honored by God? Because you're serving Jesus so that you can be ready to face God. Wow. It brings the blessings. Living life like Jesus brings the blessings of honor. And the last thing tonight. The last thing, prepared and ready to face God. Enjoy the benefits. And the last thing is learn of what we will and will not give an account for. Can I tell you that's important? Jesus addressed that back over in the very end of our second parable. And he brings all this together in Luke in chapter 12 and verse 46. "And the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour when he is not aware of, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes." That's something that we can identify with pain and suffering. I don't know exactly what that's going to be. I think that many times the Bible gives us something we can identify with to say, I don't want that, or I do want that. And it's going to be more than what we can even imagine in our minds, but he gives us what we can understand. "And he knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, saved or unsaved. Neither did according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy." Now there's one that knew and prepared not, and then there was one that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. "For unto whomsoever much is given," and we don't all have the same things. We don't all have the same gifts. We don't all have the same opportunities. Not everyone was raised in a Christian home. Not everyone is raised in a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Not everyone has the same opportunities. But God Almighty understands what opportunities we have and what we do with the opportunities that he's given to us. So we need to learn what we will and will not give an account for. And can I tell you tonight, ignorance is no excuse. Possibly a different degree of punishment, but ignorance is no excuse. Some people say, well, I don't want to know so that I won't have to be accountable for it. Oh, yeah, if you've had the opportunity to know, then you're going to be accountable. If you had the opportunity to hear the messages and you didn't listen to the messages and apply the messages, you had an opportunity to read the entire Word of God and you didn't read the entire Word of God, you had the opportunity to do a work for God and you didn't do a work for God, listen to me, you're accountable for what opportunities that God made available to you. And in closing, in Romans chapter 14, verse 11 and 12, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God." That is true, but then he says in verse 12, "So then, knowing this, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Sometimes we're so worried about somebody else's sins that we don't address our own. And you need to be able to pray for people. You need to be able to help individuals. But listen to me. What is more important than you trying to help somebody else with their sins is that you make sure that you are living a life that is pleasing to God. Trying to remove a splinter and there's a pole in your own eye, basically. What are we accountable for? Every one of us will give an account for ourselves. Are you ready and prepared to do that? Yeah. Not saying that you don't have to worry about giving an account for anybody else, because you're not going to be able to bring anybody with you when you stand before God and give an account. You will not be able to bring me before you and say, well, he didn't preach what he should have preached. You can't bring your wife and say, well, she wasn't what she should have been. You can't bring your husband and say, well, he wasn't what he should have been. As children, you can't bring your parents and say, they didn't raise me, right? Listen to me. All of those things will impact an individual, but none of those things that you cannot control will you give an account for. But you will give an account for you. And I will give an account for me. Ourselves, our works, our opportunities, if you will, everything that a free will allows me to have control of, beginning with salvation. We will stand before God and give an account. The message here that Jesus wanted to get across: be prepared and be ready, because that day is coming. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed, that day is coming. Whether it's a rapture or your physical death, it's coming. Whether it's today, this year, next year, it's coming. Are we ready? And are we prepared to face God? Heavenly Father, we bow before you and thank you for the teachings of Christ and preserving them for us to read and study and be able to apply. And this, no doubt, was a message that he wanted to get across to his disciples as well as to all who would follow throughout this church age. The reality of the rapture is real. The reality of every individual facing God is real. Help us to be prepared and ready. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.